There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 653. This is your host, Danny, and this week is only going to be me. And shout out to Pete and Paris. That it's also probably relaxing right now and stuff. So, but here's a couple of things before we start with the show. Of course, we're going to be reviewing Mario Kart 8 Deluxe that's coming out for the Nintendo Switch. Shout out to Nintendo of America for sending us a review code. And also, Mr. Shifty, Mandy is going to be joining me on this episode to talk about this game that is out for Steam and also for the Nintendo Switch. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@GamertagRadio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/GamertagRadio.
All right, so a couple of announcements. The Messengers, a podcast documentary, is coming out very soon on iTunes. And we have been doing some screenings. I've already had one in Orlando. Full house, standing ovation right after the movie. That was awesome. And also we had a screening in Tampa, which there was a lot of people. But this time, we have two new locations now where we've been working on this for a while now. The first one is in the city of Miami. Yes, we're finally going to have a screening in Miami in this historic theater called Manuel Artime Theater. That's in 900 Southwest 1st Street, Miami, Florida, 33130. For more information, go to manuelartimetheater.com. And we're going to be showing the screening there, the movie, everything. It's totally free. Anybody could join the screening. All right, I would like to thank the following people here that have been helping us. Lee Luna, shout out to Lee for helping us as my cousin. He's been in the behind the scenes helping us out with the theater. And also Latinos United in Action and also the City of Miami. Thank you so much for helping us out to get this theater, and I can't wait to present this documentary, you know, along with the filmmakers Chris Commissals and also Neil Gilarte. We're going to be there together and also doing a Q&A with everybody. It's going to be a lot of people from the gaming community there and also the podcast community and, you know, just friends and family from the city here of Miami. They're going to be planning to attend. Also, we're planning to have a screening. This is a private screening, though, in New York City. Thanks to Adrama and also CBS Radio for helping us out. That's going to take place May 12th at 7:30. And also it's already completely full. We already have a list and wow, we haven't even announced it and it's already packed and it's already full. So that's insane. But we did invite it, you know, a couple of the GTR community, friends and family, of course, from New York City. And they're also going to be attending to watch this documentary. But I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, wait a minute. So hold on. How can I watch this movie? There's a chance for you to watch this movie. And also you could do your own screening at home. And it's simple. Just do this. Just go to supportthemessengers.com. That's supportthemessengers.com. Pick which one you want. You can get one DVD, a couple DVDs, and so on. And this will help you get copies of the movie before it comes out to iTunes. Because our goal is this, guys. The goal is this. we want this movie to go top of the charts on iTunes because we want to support the indie podcast. It's not only GTR, but just the independent community out there that also been creating great content throughout these years. We want to support the indie podcasters out there. So this is the main reason why we're trying our best to get the word out about this movie. So whatever you guys could do, go to supportthemessengers.com and pick your package, the one that you like the most, and have your own screening over there in your local area. So that's going to be really, really cool. All right, so I think enough of this promotion stuff. Man, I think it's time to continue with our show.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is a racing game that came out that's coming out for the Nintendo Switch. For those that don't know, originally this game came out for the Wii U, and it was a huge success. It basically helped the Wii U get some sales, man. The sales went up because ever since the game came out. So what happened? You know, there's still a lot of people out there that never had a chance to play this game at all for the Wii U. So Nintendo decided to release this port, but now with new features, a lot better, like visually looks faster and everything. And of course, they have a lot of new things added, like characters, some bugs, issues that happened during the Wii U. They fixed it and they added all this into one game. So the game is going to come out April 28th of this year. So there is a couple characters there that, for those that don't know, but before I talk about the characters, do you remember Mario Kart Double Dash? This game came out years ago where you could carry two items, you know. The original Mario Kart 8, you only could have only one item. So this one, at the same time, you could have two item box, you know, during your race. You could attack the people that you're racing and so on. So that's pretty cool. And I think that was pretty, pretty awesome. So a new thing, too, that they added this game is smart steering and auto accelerate. So like for those are like beginners that have never played this game, this is just an easier way for you to drive and get used to the game and so on. But you could turn that off. You could turn it on and off whenever you want and stuff. And here's the crazy thing. You could also race the 200cc engine class in this game, and it's been added to, like, if you want to do that, like time trials and everything. And let me tell you, it is extremely fast. Like, I've been playing that a lot, you know, single player mode, because I want to get used to it. You know, I want to see how far I could get in the game, how many cups I could finish and everything. But let me tell you, it's very, very challenging. One of the things that I do like about this game is that loading time. Oh my God, it's so much faster than the original game, which is awesome. And this especially when you're on the go or you're playing a TV mode, you can't tell the difference. It's like a lot smoother. There's no slow time. So here's the thing. The problem I've been noticing about the Nintendo Switch, some games at the beginning, like with Zelda, I mean, now they fixed it. But in the beginning, you know, when you play on the go, it's a lot faster. When you're playing the TV mode, sometime we get a little bit slower, but I know there have been a couple updates that came out and now they fixed that issue. But there's a couple of indie games that if you play, you know, again on the go or in TV mode, sometimes you will notice like some slow time. Now, I didn't notice that at all with Mario Kart 8. I tried out many times on the go and also on TV mode with my fiance. We play a couple of times, and also with my nephews and my brother, I'm gonna play the audio later on in this episode. We played it and we didn't, there was no difference. It was the same game, smooth, a lot of fun. Now, I also played this game a lot when, like online during the Wii U version. And the one thing that really bothered me was, okay, I picked the character, picked my car and everything. But after the game, I'm like, man, I want to go back and change my character or change my cart. So what happened? I'm stuck with that character, right? Not in this version. This version now, you have the option to press X during the lobby and change your character and change your cart, which is awesome. Thank God they added that, because the most frustrating thing is, yo, you're on a roll and then you got to get out of the lobby, completely get off and start from the beginning and then go back to the lobby. Not anymore. So thank you, Nintendo, for doing that. I think that's pretty cool. Now, this game also has all the DLC content from Mario 8, the original game. And here's another thing, too. Remember that the Benz sponsored Nintendo during the first game, the original game? Well, that cart is also there available in this game, which you could download and everything. So that's pretty cool. Now, one of the things a lot of people love is also battle mode. Now, instead of having three balloons, it's five balloons. This is like the official battle mode, which I like a lot. Of course, it's five different battle modes where you could play, you know, a balloon battle, renegade roundup, bomb blast, coin runners, shine thief, and so on. So that's pretty cool. You can also play this online against other players around the world or regional. So you're going to be busy with this for sure. So now there are five new battle stages in this game too. So yeah, this is a lot of content here. We're going to be playing this for a very, very long time. And I think that this game is going to help the Nintendo Switch go up even more with sales. You know, it helped a lot with this Zelda game that just came out. But imagine now with Mario Kart. Oh my God, so many people are going to buy this for sure. So I did created a tournament page for those that is part of the GTR community and they're planning to get, you know, Mario Kart and have the Nintendo Switch. I would like for you to also join us. We could play online. We could play against the computer and everything. And this weekly tournament resets every week. So that will be awesome for you. Not only play with other gamers from the Gamer Tag Radio community, but let's battle it out online. Now, here is the code where you could go to the, when you go to the online section, go to tournaments and search for a tournament. This is the code, Gamer Tag Radio, okay? 4500-6907-7547. I'm going to repeat that one more time. 4500-6907-7547. But let me tell you, if you have the Nintendo Switch and you know you already only have Zelda or you don't have Zelda, you only have like independent games and stuff, this is the game to pick up. You could play with your friends and family. I love this game so much. I love the original from the Wii U, and this one is even better. So go for it. Go buy this, and we'll be right back after this.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so right now we're going to be reviewing Mr. Shifty for the Nintendo Switch, also PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Steam. And joining me this week for this review, once again, Mandy.
Hi. Yes, another game, another review.
Another game, another review. For those that don't know, this game was developed by Team Shifty and also published by Tiny Build Games. So for more information, just go online and search for them and everything. So we received this game a couple of days ago, Mr. Shift. Your thoughts, Mandy, because this game reminds me a lot of Hotline Miami.
Yes.
That type of style.
It's like Hotline Miami meets Nightcrawler.
You can say that.
Is kind of how it feels. And for full disclosure, I played on Steam, so I was on PC. And
I was playing
on Switch, right?
Yeah, played on Switch.
Okay.
Playing on Switch.
I liked it. You know, full disclosure, it's I believe 18 levels. Played it for me, I completed it about just over 4.5 hours. And I was really entertained. Like I had so much fun playing it that I played like the bulk of that time, like the first 3.5 hours was in one night where I was like, well, I'll just play for a little bit and see how I feel. And then it's like, then I kept playing and I kept laughing and like being entertained and having fun and watching this hilarity kind of explode. And the whole time going, you know, this is excessively entertaining. Like I had a massive amount of fun.
I had a lot of fun too, and I know a lot of people are wondering, like, wait, what type of game is this? This is a beat 'em up type game. top down right from like the top view. It's exactly similar to like Hotline Miami. And you go through like different rooms. You're like in this building and going to like different floors and stuff. And there's a lot of enemies. And the thing is, the farther you go in the game, you're going to find like harder enemies and with weapons and all this stuff. So, but one thing I have to mention, I really, really love this game for Nintendo Switch, but there's some like slowdown in the game. I don't know if it's like that for your version, but it gets really slow on my side from the Nintendo Switch. Maybe it's because of the Switch.
I don't think I noticed anything, but I feel like it was one of those where it was like the memories of the things that happened, like those really hilarious instances and things were make it so that I'm like, do I remember something? But if it did happen, it didn't stick out enough to be like significant.
Yeah, I mean, people have been complaining to the developers, and I believe they apologize about the, you know, they apologize to like Nintendo Switch owners about this. And I think they are probably working on an update for this to fix it. But yeah, I noticed some slowdown. And I noticed when there was like a lot of enemies and a lot of things going on, like explosion and all that stuff.
Yeah, in the game, sometimes there'd be a little bit of lag or something.
It's like a little bit of lag. But overall, I still kept on playing the game. After a while, I'm like, oh, whatever. And I got really, really far. So I believe I'm in stage 17.
Okay, you're close to the end then.
So I'm close to the end. Okay,
it gets harder as you play. And for people that are like, what is this? Like, besides us telling you what we think it's like, you play Mr. Shifty, who's a bit of a shifty character. And you're all of this happens in one kind of location, sort of. And so each change is really entertaining. You know, there's some fun things. There's ninjas and there's gold weapons, which if you haven't picked any of those up from the statues, you totally should. There's highly entertaining things that happen. This game also, I have to say this game, in terms of game in real life, like, no question, best elevator music I've ever heard.
Really?
Like, I am so entertained every time I step into the elevator. Like, yeah, rocking out to the elevator music.
I mean, the soundtrack overall is pretty tight. Even when you're like in the different floors, the music is really tight. I like it a lot.
And I like how they use the music to kind of denote certain things. Like when you're in areas that your powers are dampened, that when you walk through those, like the sound gets dampened, like you're listening to it through like a tunnel or underwater or something. So their use of audio elements within the game is really well done. And the soundtrack is good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm highly recommend it. I mean, it's only like, what, $20 for the Switch and also for Steam. Those are out, and I believe they're planning to release it also for PlayStation 4. And is it out for PlayStation 4? Let me double check. I don't want to like...
It's a good question. I'm not sure. I've been playing it on PC. But yeah, I think it's if you like that style of game, you know, go watch a trailer. Or if you played Hotline Miami, I think you'd enjoy it. There was a little frustration on the last level because it was so difficult.
How long it took you to pass, like to finish the last level?
An hour.
Was it long?
It was an hour. And so literally like on Steam, it like gives you a playtime at the end. You'll have to tell me if it does the same for Switch, but once you finish it. But literally it's like once you've completed the entire game and the credits are rolling, it's like, here's how long it took you to complete the game. So mine was like 4 hours and 34 minutes. And my time, so 4 hours and 34 minutes for 18 stages or levels, whatever you want to call it. The last level took me 54 minutes of that 4 hours and 34 minutes.
How many deaths?
Oh my God. I think I was at like, that's the other thing. After each stage, it'll tell you how many times you died plus how long it took you. I want to say that I died like 65 times. It was,
holy crap.
Yeah, it was insane. Like that was actually, for all that I really enjoyed the game, there are two specific areas on that last level that were exceedingly frustrating and that caused like not just the time delay, but the number of deaths that I had. And those were like the only two points in the game where it's like, okay, now I'm like in the frustrated where do I really want to keep playing kind of question mark. But it wasn't even the whole levels. It was just those 2 points. But I did. I finished it. At that point, I'm like, I'm already committed. I'm finishing this game.
But the cool thing about this game, too, is that let's say there's like a bunch of enemies. Like for me, I don't know if you managed to do this, too. But when there's like a lot of enemies, I mess around with them because they always are following me when they hear like a sound or something like that. So I shift to like a different area. I go to a room. They're like looking for me, all lost. And once they turn around, I shift back where they're at and I kick their butt and I wait till the next enemies. I keep on doing like that. But sometimes it could get really, really challenging because there's going to be enemies that are either big, stronger, faster. Maybe they have like some shotguns or like different type of weapons that could easily kill you.
It's my mortal enemy.
Oh, the flamethrower. That's another one too. Like you kill that person with the flamethrower, right? Sometimes that flamethrower could blow up too. So you got to be careful with that. And there's also like mines. There's bombs and stuff like that. So you have to be really, really smart in certain situations. Like, okay, what I'm going to do? I'm going to play around with the enemies. Do I pick up a mine, throw it to the enemy? And you could also damage like a desk or a table, and you could use that also as a weapon.
I threw a lot of keyboards at people.
Keyboard works. Keyboard is really, really good. So yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's the one thing I did like is there are puzzles themselves within the game, but then I felt like each area and each combat sequence was a puzzle in itself of like what is the best way for me to pass this area, and it's, you know, taking into account all those different ways that you can do combat, the types of enemies you're running into, what's in the space that's available to you, and how can you make all of that work together for you to pass each section. And so that was kind of the fun of it, was like sometimes it was ridiculous and you could tell like, oh, I just ran into this one spot over and over again and I keep dying. Maybe I should try something different.
Yeah. I like it though. So let me ask you, do you use the keep mice and keyboard or use the controller to play this game for your version?
I want to say I use the controller for this one.
The keyboard and mouse? You tried?
I did, and it wasn't too bad. I think it really felt like, you know, just what's your preference. I didn't really think that one control is significantly better than the other. It's just what you're most comfortable with. So I did one level with mouse and keyboard. And, you know, it was fine, but it was just like in terms of how good my reaction time is and how my mouse is set up, it was a lot easier for me to not fail with a controller.
All right. So final thoughts, Mandy, is it worth it?
It is. It's worth it. It's enjoyable. Hopefully you'll have fun. You'll laugh hysterically, you know, at some of the ridiculous things that happen or some of the ways that you just fail miserably. And I think it's totally worth it. And it still has the best elevator music ever.
Yeah, in my opinion, you know, from the Nintendo Switch side, it is worth it. Just bear in mind that it's a little bit buggy. It gets a little slow here and there. But overall, I still kept on playing the game. And I had a blast. I had a blast with the game. So, and I'm still going to be also playing that and switching to Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which I've been doing a lot lately. So stay tuned in. Thanks, Mandy, once again.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, thanks, Mandy, for the support. And right now we're going to be playing this because, you know, for those that don't know, you know, now it's been 12 years of Gamertag Radio. And one of the people that have been supporting us since day one and have been on the show for a very long time, multiple times, is Peter Moore. He used to work at Sega, then Microsoft, and then eventually EA Sports and so on. And he left the gaming industry. Now he's doing other things, you know, in the soccer world and everything. So, you know, we have a lot of listeners that haven't heard these interviews, you know, and as a thank you to Peter Moore, not only for supporting Gamertag Radio, but also being part of the gaming community and the gaming industry. You know, I would like to dedicate this part, you know, this whole interview to him. He's been a huge supporter of GTR, man. And, you know, it's good that he's doing other things now. And, you know, thanks, Peter, for always keeping in touch and everything and always hitting me up privately and everything, you know. So shout out to you, man. So here's a couple audio. The first time that Peter Moore was on our podcast was back in 2005. And then throughout the years when he was part of EA Games and all that stuff, too. So I'm going to play right here. And once we come back, we're going to end the show. Check it out.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio.
But we have a call live from all the way from Redmond, Microsoft campus, Peter Moore.
Hey, Godfrey, it's Peter Moore at Xbox. How are you? And a big shout out for the entire community for voting Zero Hour, our event last year, prior to the launch of Xbox 360, as the best community event of the year. We're very proud of that. A lot of very talented people here at Xbox worked very hard to pull it off. And certainly for me, it was one of the great moments of my life when those big doors opened up there in Palmdale and I saw the excited faces of literally thousands of gamers as they ran in to get their hands on Xbox 360. So a proud moment and an even prouder moment for us to be able to get the best community event of the year. And also a big shout out to the entire community. It's obviously we're right here in the middle of the holiday. Sales are going really well. Titles like, of course, Gears of War are selling phenomenally well. But I think most importantly as well, the community is rallying around things like Xbox Live and making it the place to go for gamers everywhere in the world. So, and I want to thank you and the community that follows you for all of your support. And it's going to be a great 2007 little thing called Halo 3 on the doorstep as well. Thanks, Godfrey, and thanks to everybody out there in Xbox land. Take care. Bye-bye.
We have Peter Moore in the house.
Yes, sir.
And yeah. I got to say, man, you're the best player in Rock Band, man.
Listen, I'm actually pretty good. It was an unfortunate incident last night in which I actually couldn't hear the music. But I'll tell you a little secret. There's a Rock Band party going on in Hollywood tonight that I'm going to go up there. And I'm going to get that guitar around my neck again. I'm going to show everybody that I can play that guitar.
Have you tried the drums?
The drums actually are more difficult than the guitar.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's why the president of the company was playing the drums last night. Alex is very good on the drums. So, no, but it's a fun game. We had
cool presentation, a press conference yesterday. It was really cool, man. This year it was more focused on the exclusives, which is a good thing. And I can't wait for the titles when it comes out, this year.
We showed 40 games last night, all of which between the Xbox 360 platform and the Games Windows platform are all showing up on those platforms in 2007. And kind of threw the gauntlet down to our competition, not to promise the future, but to deliver the present. And I thought we delivered the present well last night.
I know all of us were waiting for the gray Xbox. That was like the rumor that was going around.
That had me very worried.
You guys have got to stop reading Kotaku. That's what you're going to stop doing.
Yep. Right, Crescente, stop it.
That's right.
Any questions you guys want to ask of Peter Moore?
First of all, I don't know if you know this. I'll let you know this. We made world history last night in broadcasting. We streamed it over the internet, your press conference, via Xbox Live Vision camera.
Wow! So I could actually watch it on my television at home rather than crowd around my PC.
On your computer, we streamed it.
No, but if it's coming back on Live Vision, I couldn't watch it on my TV. If I have a VGA, I bet I could. I could, yeah. Yeah.
We had a lot of good feedback. Everyone said that our video was great. It was better than G4. It was faster. It was.
Where were you in the venue? Oh, you were?
Yeah, okay. We were trying to focus when you made that mistake with Rock Band. It didn't work out.
Yeah, thanks. What mistake? What mistake was that? I was actually showing the features of the game, how the fact that when you fail, that your teammates on the band have to work harder to bring you back in. It was all planned.
No, but I really want to thank you because you guys made a huge change with a 3-year warranty. I think that helped out a lot. Yeah. What was the main reason it took so long for that to happen?
Well, it wasn't a question of taking so long. I mean, we had to gather a lot of data and get a lot of logistics in place, and it wasn't a small amount of money involved either. So, I mean, I want to apologize to anybody that's listening that had been inconvenienced with getting the three flashing red lights, but, we're going to take care of you. And it's important to us that we take care of what is a very loyal and passionate fan base with Xbox 360. And, I'm really sorry if anybody had a tough time with that. And if you paid us, of course, to get it fixed, we're going to give you that money back. And if you have a problem now or in the future, we're going to take care of you.
Mrs. Do you want to say anything?
Yeah, I actually have a question for you, Peter.
Yeah.
We were talking about this at the press
conference.
Yeah, more beer, please. No, but we were talking about this at the press conference last night. You're basically going to have, within a 40-day period, you're going to have Blue Dragon,
yep.
You're going to have BioShock,
yep.
You're going to have...
PGL4.
Oh, yeah, see, I've been drinking. Halo 3, yep. Half-Life 2, Orange Box, all within this 40-day period. Do you think it's too much too soon. Or if you're just giving the consumers what they want and they can pick it up, you know, when they can afford it.
Well, you know, those are probably games that they're all different genres. Not everybody's going to buy every game. The idea is to get both depth and breadth. So you're talking about, you know, racing, action, adventure, first-person shooters. You know, the point of the view is our job at Xbox is to be able to provide you with anything you want, something for everybody. You know, we've got Viva Pinata coming. We've got Scenic coming. Right. You know, so we've got to also remember we've got family members we want to take care of. So it is the best lineup that I've ever seen at any holiday period of time in the years I've been in this business. So, no, I mean, it's very difficult to say to somebody, a third party, say, don't ship this year because it's too much.
Right.
At the same time, last night we talked about the perfect storm of gaming with, you know, Madden, Halo, Grand Theft Auto.
Madden's in that 40 days as well.
So, you know, it's a question of, hey, it's all coming. This thing happened in 2004. We know what happened there. So as tough as it is to fit it all in, and as tough as it is for you guys to go out and buy all the games, they're coming. And, you know, maybe you wait for a few of them to go on sale after Christmas or something like that, but that's going to be the case. So
I know the community always ask you, hey, Peter, what's your gamer tag? But I'm going to ask you, how's your gamer score? In your
You know what? My problem is my gamer score is language, because I have to get on the road and do all this kind of stuff. So every now and again, I convince my son to get on there as me and build it back up again. So, and I'm not going to tell you my gamer tag.
All right, who's doing better, you or Bill Gates?
Bill's pretty good.
Yeah?
And I know Bill is a PGR fan, so I know when PGR for guys. His kids are younger. His kids can't help him with his gamer score.
All right, so want to say any last thing to the, you know, Xbox community?
Oh, I want to thank everybody as always for their great support of the Xbox and for the Windows platform. You know, as we said last night, we've got a tremendous amount of games coming. We focused on right here, right now last night with about 40 titles. And we really believe that we've got what is by far the greatest holiday lineup in history. So I want to thank everybody again for all of their support and loyalty, particularly those guys on Xbox Live. And, you know, we've got a lot of great stuff coming. We look forward to, as always, doing business with everybody out there.
Hey, give a shout-out to Gamertag Radio. You know,
Gamertag Radio, coming live from beautiful Santa Monica. Wish you could all be here with us in the Viceroy Hotel, where we're drinking beer, we're eating food, we're playing games, we're hanging out by the pool.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, Peter.
All right, my pleasure.
Appreciate that, man.
Thanks, you guys.
Awesome. Problem,
take care.
Man.
Thanks
a lot.
Thank you
very much.
Nice. Thanks.
Now here's Godfrey.
I was expecting interviewing you yesterday, but hey.
No, that's fine. Grab them while you can.
All right. All right. So please present yourself and what you do for Microsoft.
Well, I'm Peter Moore. I run what's known as Interactive Entertainment. What does that mean? It's the Xbox, of course.
Okay.
Xbox Live, games for Windows, and I'm the proud owner of about 2,200 people at Microsoft.
So let me ask you this. If you had a chance to be the VP of Sony and Nintendo, what would think the biggest changes you would do that they should do? You know?
Well, you know, so let's start with Nintendo. I think they're doing, obviously they're doing a great job in broadening the audience. I think that, as I think you saw yesterday, I think there's an opportunity for them to go after a more core consumer. It may, because they need to build their attack rate up a little bit, sell more games. I think I'd be more aggressive in talking to third parties about the opportunities that that present themselves on the Wii platform. I think they're doing a great job in the DS. I don't think there's anything I would improve there.
Okay.
If Sony, I would accelerate online. I think the home is going to be interesting, but it's still a long way away. I would make a special effort to get that integrated into all the games and compete with Xbox. Xbox Live. It may already be too late, but I think you've got to go after that business and go after it hard.
What is the most difficult part about your job?
This year in particular, making selections about all the games we got. I mean, the toughest part is we've got so many great games that we have to do some portfolio management and start pushing things around and out of the way and help our third-party partners get some slots in the schedule between now and Christmas. So that is a tough job right now. We got too much stuff, and we got to be able to figure out how to merchandise all that stuff.
Well, why do you think it's so important for you guys, the community, the Xbox community? community. Since day one, you people have been very strong with that. Yeah. What is that? Like, other companies don't do that at all. They really, like, you know, give the quotes, you know, to the...
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to look at Microsoft broadly as a tremendous evangelistic company. I mean, they invented the concept of building a platform, and platform requires thousands of companies and millions of people to be involved. And so evangelism that Microsoft does so well, reaching out to the development community, the extension to what we do to the actual gaming community is a very natural thing for us to do. We believe in it. We've done it for years, whether it's in gaming or whether it was in software development. And boy, you're the guys that make it tick. You're customers, you're evangelists, you're fans. You know, it's always a lot of fun dealing with you. So we believe in it. It's what Microsoft does. I think it's a little tougher for the other guys to get their arms around it.
Let's talk about Game for Windows, man. I know Cliffy B yesterday announced that Gears of War is going to be an XP and Vista. Why was not like that, you know, since day one with other titles, like Shadowrun and Halo?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly, for games we develop internally, you know, Epic is an external studio, but they're a great partner, but they're not a Microsoft-owned studio. We did some strategic choices about what we wanted to do. We felt that we need to drive Vista adoption. That's who we are, and that's what we need to do. And having some games that only run on Vista was important, so we made the decision that Halo 2 and Shadowrun would be Vista only. And but at the same time, you know, the guys at Epic said we'd really like Gears of War to be XP as well as Vista. So, you know, we value our relationship. We agreed, and there we are.
I know there's always online leaks videos and pictures and stuff. To me personally, as a fan, I think that's a good thing because it creates a buzz. But why, on your point of view, why is not good for Microsoft when that happens?
Well, what you have to understand is you have to see our side of it. You have a lot of people that work very long and hard to get things ready for launch. We're very proud of launches. We build integrated plans for PR and for marketing. We work with our partners, our retailers, under the cover of NDAs. We work with third-party publishers, let them know. And it's incredibly disappointing for these guys and gals that work for me to have something crushed by some kind of a leak. You know, it's the only thing I can point to in you know, in your personal life, if you had something that you wanted to do and somebody leaked it to your mom and dad in advance,
yeah,
without you telling them, that's what I'm talking about.
All right, man, thanks a lot.
All right, my pleasure.
Take care, man. Take care.
Back on the scene. This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so that's it. That was multiple interviews of Peter Moore that he's been on the show throughout the years, man. So shout out to him. All right, so we're going to end the show. Remember, we're going to have a lot of screenings throughout the country and so on. You know, the next screening is going to be in New York and also Miami, of course. And hopefully Monday, Peter's going to be here. Paris is going to be out of town, so it's only going to be me and Pete recording the episodes and so on. So continue sending those questions and so on. One thing I do want to mention, I was reading that there's rumors, I think Eurogamer posted this, that Nintendo is planning to make a Super Nintendo Mini. Very, very interesting. If that happens, I'm definitely going to buy that because that's one of the things that I wanted since the get. You know, I love the original NES, don't get me wrong, but Super Nintendo is a lot of classics, you know, Super Metroid, Castlevania, Contra, the Mario games. Oh my God, Final Fantasy 3. That to me is my favorite Final Fantasy. I know a lot of people bring up Final Fantasy 7, but man, Final Fantasy 3 was very, very challenging and it was a lot of fun. Great story. And I remember playing that as a kid. I was like, man, the sound, the graphics. Oh my God, I can't get better than this. So it's awesome. I hope they add that and add, you know, Super Punch-Out and a couple other games there, man. That would be great if they do that, man. So I hope it happens. I'm very curious to see what people actually think about this move. If Nintendo plans to release a Super NES Mini this Christmas during the holidays. And I'm curious, too, about that because let's say they do release that and also they're going to have the Nintendo Switch. How's that going to work? Are they going to promote both or just one or... Is it going to be kind of like the NES? Hard to find? We'll see. It's a lot of questions, man. But I know a lot of the media outlets have been contacting Nintendo, and they've been quiet, quiet about this rumor. They haven't said a word. So hopefully during E3, we'll find out more about this and so on. So yeah, this is a very short episode for today, you know, but don't worry, Monday we're coming back. We're going to have a lot of more content and so on. So continue to send your voicemails. We have a lot saved up for the next episode, but just send it. And we're definitely going to play it on the podcast.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. Until next time, we're out. Thanks for all the support. Peace.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.